We're going to read three passages this morning. The first one, I'm just going to make note of one verse in where Merle read. You don't have to turn there, you can listen. It is in John chapter 19. It's actually my key verse for my little gospel message here. John chapter 19 and verse 18, and it reads this. There they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on either side, and Jesus in between. Let's go over to the Gospel of Matthew for one short reading there. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 44. The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. And one final reading in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 39. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuking him said, Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. We'll just end our reading there. Two thieves, during the crucifixion of the one that we've been singing about, there was two individuals, one on either side of the Lord Jesus, being also crucified at the same time. It doesn't tell us much of the details of these two men, only to say that they were criminals, robbers. I also want to make note this morning that these two criminals were not on trial. The trial was passed. They were guilty. They were guilty for whatever crimes they had committed. And the trial was passed, and they were guilty. And I would like to say this morning that these two men represent everyone in the audience here this morning. I want to ask a question. These two thieves or robbers, were they equally close to the center man? Well, we would answer, yeah, they were. They were crucified one on either side. And so the answer would be, yeah, they were. They were equally close. So they had an equal opportunity. And I would suggest this morning, as we look at this little story, that one responded to the man on the center cross in a way that would save him, not from his physical life, but would save him for the life to come. Two thieves, two groups of people we could look at this morning, the saved and the lost. I want to share this morning, I want to be real this morning about the reality or the results of being saved or rescued from your sin, and you may not understand that, but I hope by the time that I'm through this morning that you'll understand that your sin has separated you from a holy God. The opportunity was provided for both, and I would suggest to you this morning that there is an opportunity to respond as And I want to say that the gospel demands a response. You will leave this building this morning, either your sins forgiven and a secure home in heaven in a coming day, or your sins against you and condemnation, judgment. There's a book in heaven, it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And in that book is the name written of every individual that has put their faith in what we've been singing about, Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. And when you put your faith and trust in the center man on the cross as your substitute, as the one who bore your sins, then he writes your name in there. And you're in heaven as good as if you were there today. But if your name is not written in that book, I want to be very clear this morning that there is judgment upon you. As a matter of fact, your end is horrific. The end of someone who has their sins against their account is the lake of fire. Forever and ever. God's judgment against your sin. So we notice that these both men were guilty as charged. Second thing we want to notice is one of them recognized his sin. He as much as said this, why? Originally, they were both railed on him. They both insulted him. But one came to a realization that he was guilty of his sin. And he also recognized that the man on the center cross had no sin. And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. I want to ask a question this morning. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your rescuer, your Savior, do you believe that your sins are against you? Do you believe that you will pay for your sins? It says in the Bible that the wages or the payment for your sins personally, sins are things that are against God, by the way. They're not against you personally. They're against a holy, righteous God. It's all the things that you have a tendency to do that are against what God says. And I want to pose a question. Do you feel that your sins are against you? And if you answer no, then I would submit to you this morning, there is no hope for you. There is no hope for you this morning if you do not feel that your sins are against you. They will end in separation from a holy God. One of these men recognized that his sin was against him. The Bible says this, for Christ, who died for our sins and for once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but alive in the spirits. In the spirit. Are you concerned this morning about your safety? Are you concerned this morning about your safety? I want to submit to you on the authority of this book, there is safety in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is safety in him. You might ask me this morning, how do I get safety? Is it coming here and listening to the messages? Does that give me safety? Is there safety in being a good person? Is there safety in joining this church group? Absolutely not. There is no safety in any of those things. The Bible is very clear about how to be what we deem or what we call to be saved, to be rescued. The Bible says repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That word faith is often synonymous with the word believe. I don't know how my time is here, but I'm going to end with three short illustrations to try to convey to you how you can leave this place this morning assured of heaven. Three short examples. One has quoted these three, and I'm just using this material this morning. He who knows what is meant by faith in a promise knows what is meant by faith in the gospel. He who knows what is meant by faith or belief in a promise knows what is meant by faith in the gospel. What do I mean by that? Well, maybe some of you young people would understand this scenario. You have a big sporting event coming up. You've made it to the finals. Your team made it to the finals. And your mom and dad have promised you they'll show up. And you're banking on it. You're pretty proud of what you've done, what your team has done. He who knows what is faith in a promise knows what it is to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This book tells me when I turn to the one who can save me, understanding that I have my sin against me as this criminal did, the Lord Jesus' response to this man was, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He who knows what is faith in a promise knows what it is to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second illustration is he who knows what is meant by faith in a remedy knows what is meant by faith in the Lord Jesus to save you. This is a very simple illustration. You've got a headache. You got to go to work. Your head's pounding. And there's Tylenol, extra strength, on the counter. You going to take it, or are you just going to suffer all day? He who knows what is faith in a remedy. The remedy is the Tylenol to alleviate the pain. I want to say this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is the remedy for your sin. See, the problem is you may talk about everything else, but it's your sin that has separated you from God. And your sin needs to be dealt with. This last one is very personal to me. He who knows what it is to have faith in a physician knows what it is to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you know my family. We go here. When my middle daughter was 6 months old, she was diagnosed with a heart condition. Very traumatic for our family at the time. The prognosis was not good. Without the surgery, she was not going to make it. So we took that little six-month-old baby, and we took her to Toronto. And she had to have open heart surgery. 6 months old. He who knows what it is faith in a physician knows what it is to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you what happened that day. Traumatic for that little 6 month, very traumatic for parents. We had a full day of preparation that day. I can remember it like it was yesterday. They warned us, Mackenzie may not make it through. She may not live. They prepped that little baby for surgery. And the hour came. And I had her in my hands. And as Kelly and I walked, there's double doors back there. Did you ever see those trauma rooms where you can only go so far and then they stop you? That's exactly what happened. You know what I had to do? I had to pass her over to the doctor. What was I doing? I was relying fully on the doctors. I could do nothing. He who knows what it is to have faith in a physician, resting on what someone else did, the Lord Jesus did everything. He made full payment. You know what it says in our scripture reading? It is finished. Complete. Nothing else can be done. You want to be saved this morning? Let's break all the walls down. Trust Him. Trust Him that He made payment for the sin that is against your account that will end you up in a place called hell. It's as simple as that. It's not complicated. You don't have to go through steps. You just have to rest in what Jesus Christ did. And as I passed that baby through those doors, and the doors were closed, I rested on what the physicians could do for her. And they did. She's here today. And I would implore you this morning, trust Him. Trust the Savior. Savior of sinners. He can be your Savior. You can be sure of heaven this morning by simply believing, turning to the one on the center cross, the one who loved you so much that He gave Himself for you. He bore your judgment so that you could be set free. Trust Him. He is absolutely 100% trustworthy. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for the great news of the gospel. Oh, Father, we would be lost, condemned, without hope. And You've provided a way. We are thankful for Your Son. We're thankful for His love, great love for us. And Father, we pray that anyone in this room this morning would respond and just simply turn to the one who can save them from their sins. We pray this in the name of Your precious Son, the one who is living, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.